their service tonight, and it is good to be gathered in the name of the Lord, and we appreciate that we can have this hall this evening for to share the Word of God, and we want to thank the Orange Hall for the chance to have this hall. Brother Raymond, I'd mentioned him about these books. You can have one if you want one. Anybody that wants one of these books in the history of Northern Ireland, they're free. And you can have one, take one if you want one. And they're no cost at all. So I thank the Lord for that. We're going to turn to Psalms 49. And me and the wife had a shock today because we weren't long home. And the next thing, our son landed home. We didn't know he was coming. Now that's nothing, but was near 3 years. It'll be 3 years in September since we've seen him. And he landed home, and him and his girl, Micah, I hope I'm saying the name right. But I think it'd be an understatement to say Sharon was excited. But it's great to see them, you know, and it's amazing. Bobby was praying for him here this morning, and I appreciate all the prayers, and we just thank the Lord. Amen. We want to read Psalms 49, and I want to say from the very start of the service, this is not an attack on a Catholic, and it's not about Protestant Catholic what I'm going to preach tonight. This is about an attack on the cross and the work of Christ, and anything that will interfere with that is something that every preacher needs to attack back with the Word of God. And anything that gives people a false hope needs to be set straight, because we're living in the evening light. And God wants everybody to have the light of the knowledge of Christ. Whether you're Catholic or Protestant, it'll make no difference what home you're born into. The Lord loves you. And He loves everyone the same tonight. And I want you to see from the Word of God some things that people think, because they're taught it from a youth, that it's the right way. If it's not according to the Word of God, then it's not the right way. Psalms 49, let me read from verse 1. Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. Both low and high, rich, poor together, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline mine ear to the parable, I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in that day of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their own wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. This is the verse I want, verse 7. None of them by any means can redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever, and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward though is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not, he is like the beast that perisheth. This their way is their folly, yet their prosperity approve their sayings. May we just bow again for a word of prayer this evening. My key verse is verse 7. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. And we thank you for the lovely person of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We would ask for the help of the Holy Spirit this evening, and for the anointing power of God in this service. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you that you do. I pray that you will indeed enlighten men and women to the truth, and that many will be set free and come to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you this evening. Praise God. I want to read from a book written by Dr. Lorraine Botner. And I want first of all to give a little background of purgatory before I go into the things I want to say, and I won't be long tonight. The Roman Catholic Church has developed a doctrine in which it is held that all who die at peace with the Church, but who are not perfect, must undergo penile and purifying suffering in an intermediate realm known as purgatory. Only those believers who have attained, a state of Christian perfection go immediately to heaven. All unbaptized adults and those who after baptism have committed mortal sin go immediately to hell. The great mass of partially sanctified Christians dying in the fellowship with the Church, but who nevertheless are encumbered with some degree of sin, go to purgatory, where for a longer or shorter time they suffer until all sin is purged away, after which they are translated to heaven. Now I could pause there for a moment and I could run you over to Luke's Gospel. And I'll show you in Luke's Gospel that there was two men. One of them was in hell and one of them was in heaven, or a special prepared place. And we know that the one that was thence could not come hence, and the one that was hence couldn't go thence. There was a gulf fixed between them. There was no crossing once they went to where they were. And there's no coming out of hell and coming up to heaven. And there is no coming out of purgatory and coming up to heaven. This is a figment of some man's imagination, but it is not the Word of God. But thousands today believe it. And not only do they believe it, they pay into it. And people say we must go by what the Church says. When the Church differs from the Scripture, we will hold the Scripture and deny the Church. For the Church never once bled or died on the cross. But Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross for the Church. The Church doesn't save, but Jesus Christ saves.
Amen.
The Roman Church holds to the baptism, removes all previous guilt, both original and actual. So that if a person were to die immediately after baptism, he would go directly to heaven. All other believers, except the Christian martyrs, but including even the highest clergy, must go to purgatory to pay a penalty for sins committed after baptism. Now you see, the thing about this belief is, none of us would escape it. There's not a man that would draw breath that would escape it if this was true. Because I don't care if you're baptized, catechized, or whatever they do with you, even proper baptism.
Yes, amen.
You'll still make a mistake. And you'll still fall short. And you can still sin. Because you're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. There's only one man that never committed sin. And he is the Lamb of God. The perfection of all perfections. Jesus Christ himself. So I'm sorry everyone would have to go here if this was true. Because none of us could go through a life and say, I never committed a sin. The fact that we would make that statement, on that statement, would make us guilty because we're liars. That's the truth, now. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. You'll find it in Romans, chapter 3. Now, the doctrine of purgatory is not based on the Bible, but based on a distinction which Rome makes by dividing sin into two kinds. This distinction is clearly set forth by Dr. Sackhillow, who says, according to Roman teaching, a person can commit two kinds of sins against God, mortal and venial. By mortal sin is meant a grave offense against the law of God or the Church. It is called mortal because it kills a soul by depriving it entirely of sanctifying grace. Venial sin is a small, unpardonable offense against God, and the laws of the church then, this confusing and unscriptural doctrine continues two kinds. Punishment or due for moral sin, eternal in hell forever. Now we heard the other week, there's no such thing as eternal life outside of Christ. So for somebody to preach that they're eternal somewhere else, outside of heaven and outside of Christ, is equally a false doctrine. It's not in the Bible, but people preach it. Eternal punishment is cancelled by the sacrament of baptism and penance, or by an act of perfect contrition with promise of confession. Temporal punishment is not cancelled by these sacraments, but by works of penance, by almsgiving, by paying the priest, by saying mass, sins that would have to be suffered in purgatory, thus even of all mortal sins of a Roman Catholic are forgiven in confession by a priest, and he does not perform enough of these good works, he will go to purgatory and remain there in torture until his soul is completely purified. Now I'm not going to read no more of that, but it is believed that purgatory purifies the soul. Now I'm going to destroy that tonight with the help of God the best I can. That's my job. That's what I'm going to do. And when I was up in the room this evening, I felt a tremendous boldness on me and a tremendous presence of the Holy Spirit to affirm this. This is a hellish doctrine. That's what I'll call it. That's my own words for it. Anything that will deprive you from God and from the peace of God is from the devil himself. That's where it's from. The reformers correctly viewed purgatory as an insult to Christ's saving work. Purgatory mocks the cross and places salvation into the hands of a man. Aren't you glad your salvation's not in the hands of some man, but it is in the hands of the Master, Jesus Christ? Salvation becomes an attainment by works and merits of men rather than attainment by the work and the merit of Jesus Christ on the cross. Aren't you glad Ephesians chapter 2 says, it's not by works, lest any man should boast, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 7 of our text, Psalm 49. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. You cannot save another man because Jesus Christ is the only one who can save him. He can't take upon you to do it. You've no power to do it. Your blood was sinful blood. My blood was sinful blood. We were sinners by nature and sinners by birth. We come to the world speaking lies. But God sent his Son into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. And he done more. And to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. The combined message of the New Testament is all that all our sins were judged, accepted, and punished in Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the message of the New Testament, and that should be the message of the true church today. Amen. There is a true church, but there's a pretending church. Romans 3, 23 to 26, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are justified. Justified means that God looks at you as if you never done it. If the blood of Christ cleanses you and the blood of Christ justifies you, then there's no way you will go to purgatory or any other place. Amen. And remember as well, purgatory, there's no such place. It's a made up place. There's another place. myself preaching it, and another night I'll have to preach in it as well. Limbo Land, you ever heard of it? There's a place called Limbo Land. That's for the wee babies that die when they're young. They say they go to Limbo Land. But my Bible tells me they go to be with the Lord. That's my Bible. I believe the Word of God, for it set me free. Amen. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us. Now I'm going to read some scriptures, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, sealers of good works. If the Lord's work on the cross redeems us and purifies us from all iniquity, then we wouldn't need to go to purgatory to get it. If Jesus Christ has already done it, why would you have to go somewhere else for it? Why would you go second hand when you can have the real thing? Amen. Hebrews 9, verse 26 to 28. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He gave it to nobody else to do it. But he done it himself. Verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, hallelujah, amen, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Lord's coming for you, brother. And he's coming for you, sister. Young man, young woman, the Lord's coming for you. All you have to do is put your trust in him and accept the work of the cross. And that's the only thing you're going to need. You're not going to need nothing else. Revelations 1:5 tells us it's from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. How were your sins removed? By the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So there's no way you're going to have to go through a purging to get rid of them if the Lord's cleansed you from them. He doesn't leave any, he cleanses you from all. That's the Bible. All your sins are gone and gone to stay, praise God.
Amen.
Because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He felt the punishment of God in bearing our sins, Christ did. And his soul became a sheath for the sword of God's justice. God judged Jesus in our place. He even turned his back upon him on the cross. And Jesus Christ cried out those wonderful words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He bore our punishment and he took our place. He took our hell that we should have had. Jesus took it for us on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The soul of Jesus Christ was made an offering for sin. So there's no other substitute I need. This is here is enough for me.
Amen.
The soul of Jesus Christ was made an offering for my sin and your sin. And God will accept no other. Because this here alone has appeased God. God's pleased with this so much. Then Christ said, it's finished. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 1. There's no judgment whether you're saved or lost. There's a prize given. We know that. We're not talking about that. There's no condemnation. No condemnation to them that are in Christ. Aren't you glad you're not condemned? You're accepted, sister. You're accepted, brother. In the beloved, you're accepted.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? There's no purging you have to go through. Jesus Christ was judged for you. Jesus Christ took your place.
Amen.
That's the real message of the gospel. That's the heart of the gospel. The strength of the gospel. That Jesus done it for us. Hallelujah. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You'll never die. You're passed from death to life. Your flesh might die, but you have a soul that can't die because the Lord loves you. Hallelujah. Now we know the same Bible says a soul that sinneth, that shall surely die. The soul that rejects the work of Christ will die. It'll not matter how many priests or purgatory or whatever you do with that soul, it's lost. If you don't make your choice while you're breathing in this earth, you'll be too late to make it when you go beyond. Too late to make it when you go beyond. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time, the Lord says.
Yes, amen.
You need to be saved right now, and you need to know it. Oh, I'm glad this evening that Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord will take you.
Amen.
Small or tall. Broad or thin.
Amen.
Beautiful or unbeautiful. Everyone is precious in the eyes of the Lord. Red and yellow, black and white. All are precious.
Amen.
In the Lord's sight.
Amen.
He loves you. Because of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's God's will to save. The conclusion of the scripture is that while purgatory was necessary, listen to this carefully, purification or cleansing for the sinner before he could enter heaven, Jesus Christ did the purging and completely absorbed the pain caused by all our iniquities. He took it for us. All the judgments, all the purgatory judging was placed on him. We don't have to do it. He did it for us. I'm glad he done it for me. You're not glad he done it for you. Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. What are you reading? Jesus Christ by himself purged our sins. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty in high, because he's finished the work.
Amen.
He's finished the work. He's purged your sins. The work that Christ done on the cross is enough. It's an insult to let anything in. It's an insult to Christ's work. Purgatory is an insult to Calvary. It's an insult to the cross. For it will neither take you out of it or put you in it. It'll do nothing for the figment of a man's imagination. It's a man-made dogma. It's a fable. And the Bible warns us, believe not the fables, man-made fables, but the word of God. There is a purgatory, but it is not after death. It was in Christ's death. The biblical record declares the completed, sufficient nature of the work of Christ. That's the biblical record. The completed nature of the work of Christ is completed. John 19 verse 30, and when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he had said, it is finished. Completed. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. John 19:30. It's finished. If the work is finished, there's nothing more to be done to it. If you build the building and you do the finished work to it, it's finished. Move in. It's finished. Jesus Christ left absolutely nothing for man to do. Do you hear me this evening? He had finished it on the cross. There is therefore nothing any man or woman can do extra to please God and inch the doors of heaven open by their works. He can't do it. You'll never inch the doors of heaven open by anything you can do, but by simply believing and trusting on what Christ has done, you can enter. Because Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. He's the door into heaven itself. Aren't you glad for that tonight? The doctrine of propitiation. Our brother Ewell often prays about that word, propitiation. And propitiation is a word used in the Bible The doctrine of propitiation, freely and fully through Christ, is sufficient alone to drive the last nail into the coffin of purgatorial dogma. The work of propitiation drives the nail into the coffin. Dogma. Purgatory. Yes, it does. And to render as baseless the concept of a treasury of merit. See, you can't come by anything that you've done yourself. Say, God, look what I've done. Well, that's good, but have you accepted my son? Romans 3:25, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. 1 John 2:2, and he is a propitiation of our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. My, we don't need to look nowhere else. The Greek word employed by Paul is hilastrion. Propitiation carries the basic idea of appeasement or satisfaction. In ancient pagan religion, as many religions today, the idea of man appeasing a deity by various gifts or sacrifices was common. In the New Testament, however, propitiation always refers to the work of God, not of man. Man is utterly incapable of satisfying God's justice. This is the key here. Satisfying God's justice. Write it down. Satisfying God's justice. How do you satisfy God's justice? You cannot. I'm going to say it again. You cannot. I cannot. No work of a priest or a pope or any religion or movement can satisfy God's justice. But Jesus Christ alone satisfied God's justice in our place.
Amen.
He's the only one could do it. Don't you know that? That's the real work of propitiation. Now I want you to quote you from the great reformer Calvin. He demonstrated his disgust for the notion of purgatory when he wrote, "It is a deadly fiction of Satan which nullifies the cross of Christ. It is perfectly clear that the blood of Jesus Christ is the sole satisfaction for the sins of believers. The sole expiation, the sole purgation. What remains but to say that purgatory is simply a dreadful blasphemy against Christ." That's what Calvin said about it, and I agree with him, and amen him tonight. I'm going to read you a little poem as I come to close this evening. And I told you it wouldn't be long, but it's a quarter till already. The time goes quick when you've got the truth. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Praise God. Now I'm bringing this because there's people I love dear. And I want to see them saved. And you have neighbours and friends you want to see saved. But they can't be saved by a falseness. But the truth will save them. For the truth will make you free. Not what these bands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. The blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. I bless the Christ of God, I rest on love divine, and with unfaltering lip and heart, I call the Savior mine. Can you call him mine this evening? Is he yours this evening? Dear friend watching in this evening, is the Lord yours? If the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have no fear of death, hell, or the grave, or a purgatory. If you're truly born again in the Spirit of God, you'll go straight to heaven and home. You'll be absent from the body, and you'll be present with the Lord. If you're filled with the Spirit and born again, and you remain here till Jesus Christ comes, there's going to be a meeting in the air. And the graves are going to open, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, thrust up, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What's he saying? Wherefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words. Let us stand our feet this evening as we come to close. Our brother's going to come, and I appreciate Brother Gary and Brother Terry and the musicians this evening. We'll be here again Thursday night, the Lord willing. And maybe next Sunday, Brother Samuel will preach one of the services. And maybe the week after that, Brother Ian will preach one of the services. Pray for the different brothers that's going to preach. Then after that, I'll be away for a week. Praise God. That's if the Lord tarries. We don't know. But if there's a man or woman listening in or watching in tonight, Jesus loves you. And he wants to save you. And he wants you to have that blessed assurance. And you only can have it by trusting Christ. Let's bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the gospel. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. We thank you for the power of the gospel tonight. I would pray, Lord, sincerely, that you would deal with men and women and reach them and touch them and bless them and save them. And may they know your love and your presence in Jesus' precious name. I ask you for any needs over these airwaves tonight. Anyone that's sick or suffering, may the great presence of the Holy Spirit come upon them. And may they be healed in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless all in this room this evening. Give strength, give courage. Meet the needs of men and women in this house tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as our brother Gary comes.
Amen. Let us sing that hymn as we close. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there our precious fountain. Flows for all the healing stream, free for all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mouth.